We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Merlone, Fortier, and Mego on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Mike, Christian and Mego here at West End Johnny's. We'll be here until 2. We'll be here from 2 to 7. We'll be here until 7. We'll be here
4 more hours,
2
Mego.
In the morning. We'll be here until 7, leading up to this Celtics tip-off. We're going to go straight to the phones right now because we know you guys have a lot of things to say about Jason Tatum and his, historically for him, bad performance in Game 3. So, Jerry, you're on. Jerry, you're on.
Go ahead, Jerry. What's up, pal?
First time, long time. Great show, guys. And Mego, I know you guys consider yourselves talk show hosts, but in a way, you're like sports therapists, where all the frustrated fans have been yelling at their TVs over the last 24 hours. So, Dr. Fortier, thank you for saying Tatum was exaggerating his injury. He absolutely was. He played the clip a couple of minutes ago when he set that pick, and it seemed like his shoulder was fine. You know, that just has to they lose all credibility in the minds of the refs when they start over-exaggerating the fouls, like soccer players looking for yellow cards. And Udoka has to just continue to tell them to stop this crap because it's just not championship-caliber basketball. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you know what? Thanks, Jerry. I felt like the only thing that was missing in a couple of those moments in that game was like in the soccer games where the guys come out with a stretcher. And they kind of they just roll him over, and then they wheel him off, and he comes back 2 minutes later. Oh, I'm fine. Great.
This is not alone.
You know I'm right, Mego.
This is not a Celtics issue. This is a league wide issue.
It's majorly.
There's just different degrees of it, and it was like the nth degree the other night. It was horrible.
I always laugh when somebody gets a stinger, okay, and their legs give out on them, like they can't walk. Like their neck, basically a stinger. It's like if you've got
he's stinger shaming.
No, I am stinger shaming. Yes, I am.
Yes.
I am like 100%, and you should be too.
It can't make you
dizzy.
It's
pathetic.
It can't make you dizzy.
Pathetic. It doesn't. Your legs don't stop working if you get a stinger. That's it. Doesn't.
But could
they
be
still
in
work?
So much pain in that moment where he's got to lay down and can't move. Really?
No. I'm in a hard-o moment this one.
You but really are.
I am. I'm gonna live with this one.
Dr. Fortier. Jerry gave you
this is the one.
I'm annoyed with Dr. Fortier.
You would say that like shoulder pain is like unlike any other pain, so if you've never experienced it, it probably catches you off guard.
A stinger is basically a burning sensation on your neck. That's what it is. That's
and that
it.
Can't knock
That's
you off your feet?
No.
Sounds like a hickey. Let's go to Brad in Edgartown. Brad, you're on.
They can be confused.
Yeah, all right. Oh, I'm not going to talk about that. I think that the glaring problem is just a lack of leadership. Most championship teams I can think of either have a discernible leader or they've got some sort of team identity. And you've got Marcus Smart on one end of the spectrum, and then you've got Jason Tatum, and neither of them work as leaders. Al Horford would be great, but he goes into beast mode like once every 2 years. So when I'm watching the games and I'm expecting somebody to sort of take over the team, there's nobody there. You don't have that one person to do that. And I don't think I could challenge you guys to say what's the identity of the team. If Emek could go out there and play, he would be a great leader, but he's just the coach.
All right. Thank you, Brad. I think you raise a good point about your superstars, who I would say Tatum and, Brown has been an all-star. Mm-hmm. you would hope that both of them would be the guys who more often take over the game in these playoffs. It really hasn't been the case. It's been more guys like Al Horford or even Grant Williams stepping up and having these games named after them because they make so much impact in one individual game. I know we had the game six from Jason Tatum, but in terms of the identity, that's where I thought that Ime Udoka unlocked it for this group, because they became the, you know, the elite defense, the greatest defense in the league with the defensive player of the year. And that's really who we thought that they were. And then they just, it's like, even I guess if they did that, they don't do anything on offense, because that's what it looked like the other night. I mean, they got beat up by Bam, but on the offensive side, it was pathetic.
I see. I think they do have leaders. I think Smart's a good leader. Like, as irritating and eye rolling as he is sometimes,
is it Horford a leader?
I think Horford is 100% a leader. Yeah,
right. But I think you'd want Tatum to be the leader. Is what it sounds like. I'm going to put words into that caller's mouth. I think that's what people are dancing around.
They want the best player on the team to also be the lead.
The toughest?
Doesn't always work out like that.
Sacrifice the most? Yeah. Be the most disciplined? In the most work?
Yeah, well,
say the right thing all the time?
Those things can all be true, but they
first
they want
to show up, last to leave.
Yeah, parking spot. Well,
yeah.
Well, Brady got married and get that parking spot. He's not a leader anymore. He has kids. He's having a family.
He wants to save his marriage.
Tatum and Brown some pretty good games in these playoffs. I think we're not crediting them for the outburst. I mean, as bad as that game was in Game 3, Jaylen Brown was pretty damn good. Jaylen Brown
and bad though.
Was really, I mean, turnovers.
That's what it. Yeah,
he was bad.
I know, but we can't yada the turnovers when there's 23 of them.
When this happened a couple times now, when they've gone zone against the Celtics, they're like they've never seen a zone defense before in their life. And Jaylen Brown finally took advantage of it, went to the basket with some easy points. He was the only one scoring for like an 8-minute stretch there. Thank God he was there, because Tatum was invisible. What does Tatum the leader look like? Like, what when the caller says that, you help me out. What does the leader do? What more do you want from Tatum?
For example, I praised him seemingly too much on Friday for this, for example, where, okay, coming out of game one, he made the great adjustment at game two in just releasing the ball really quickly. Like, just being an assister. And so he got his, you know, and then he made sure that everybody else on the team eats. You know? Like, it's just reading and making the adjustments. I'm not saying that he has to be the guy throwing chalk in the air or pounding on his chest or, you know, yelling at the opposite team and getting in fights and being that kind of – you have that – like, you have Marcus Smart. You don't need that. It's fine. But I guess it would be the standard that your superstar plays at has to be the standard that the rest of your team falls under, right? And so set that standard high. I come back to it again and again, the consistency.
I just think he's not about that life. I've said it. I don't think he's not wired that way. He's not wired to be like, if a lot of guys aren't vocal, fine. You know, send a message through example, through your play, through your attitude, through your body language. That's what ultimately I just don't feel like in the off season, when it's all said and done, this will be, you know, project number one for Ime and Brad. Send him to a therapist. I don't know what it is. Work on his body language. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
What's a therapist?
I don't know.
Do?
Listen. When things don't go your way, don't let anybody know
answer?
It. Don't let anybody know it. Don't non-verbally express your disapproval or disappointment like that. To me, he's a big non-verbal body language guy when things don't go well. And it's exaggerated to a degree that I just see in my fourth grade girls team, who were just nothing but body language and nonverbal emotional outburst. Okay, and I tell you what, that fourth grade girls team is tougher than this Celtics team. I can tell you that much.
Okay.
Oh my God, here we
All
go.
Right, you relax
I like
over
this.
Here. We got a long show today.
Here we go.
One other topic that's going around today, we have to address this, because Jimmy Butler, according to the Heat, he's going to warm up with intent to play tonight. Obviously, he's a critical piece of this Heat team. But now there's this question that was lobbed at Eric Spoelstra about Peyton Pritchard, the little guy on the Celtics. Did he pull a dirty play halfway through the second quarter? If you rewatch, Peyton slips on the court while he's matched up with Jimmy Butler, a switch that they've been looking for time and time again. And it looks like, in slow motion, Peyton may have reached out and grabbed or pulled at Jimmy Butler's knee. So Eric Spoelstra, head coach of the Heat, he was asked about that today, about whether or not that may have affected the health of that knee.
We don't know. It could have had an effect. It was not a basketball play. We're not really sure why it was determined as that was a basketball play, or that was a legal play, or that was a safe play. We're not going to say it's bigger than it was because we don't know if that's what triggered Jimmy's injury. But regardless, it should be two separate examples. And we don't need it. Like, we don't care. The league doesn't have to do anything. We're not begging for SHT.
For what was that at the end?
So he basically said we don't need any help from the league. It seemed like he's gonna say we're gonna handle this in house. I felt like this is like frontier justice. He's okay, like, we don't need the sheriff to come in and do anything. We're gonna handle this on our own.
Vigilant. Like, it's kind of scary. Like, we'll have our answer.
Well, okay, was that a dirty play?
It's not a good play.
Was it a dirty play?
It's borderline.
It isn't.
You don't grab at a guy's knee. It's a borderline dirty play.
Well, you have to
come on.
It is. You don't. I've watched it like
because
four
he
times
got hurt.
Now. Because he doesn't go for the basketball at all. He goes for his leg like you would. It's not quite getting behind someone and your buddy pushes him over, but he grabs his leg on the way by. It's not a basketball play, Chris.
You sound like an official.
And you sound like a big football dummy. It's not a football. It's basketball.
Hello?
You don't grab guys on the way by.
You sound like a – well, I don't know. I don't want to be rude to you because I like you too much. Here's the issue with this.
I sound like what?
You sound like an excuse maker. Poor little Jimmy Who? Butler. He hurt. If he didn't
he
get
grabbed
hurt,
at his knee.
If he, what's the difference between that and a take foul? We see it all the time. Guys grab guys. That's dirty.
Okay, but he grabs his leg.
If they get hurt, oh, then it's a dirty play. Do I think that he intentionally tried to stop him? Yes.
Yes.
So I think I don't think it's dirty. I see it all the time.
Was it a basketball play?
What does it matter if it's a basketball play?
Good answer.
You're asking me
Good
if
answer.
It's a dirty play.
Yeah.
Like, he intentionally, one second, wanted to hurt him, thus being dirty. That's terrible.
Doesn't this feel like the Mac Jones call where afterwards you saw, remember this in the regular season of the Patriots where you saw Mac reaching for the ankle when he went down?
It wasn't good.
I think that
for the Panthers. Yeah. For the Panthers.
So I excuse
game.
That by saying I think it's a desperation play. I think it's a knee-jerk decision of you're going down. Sorry, poor choice of words for one Jimmy Butler. But you're going down and you reach out like anything I can grab. It's not a smart play. It's certainly not a basketball play. It's a clumsy thing. I don't know if there's ill will
clumsy?
To
Clumsy
hurt,
is falling upstairs on a
oh,
Thursday
excuse
night.
Excuse me.
This was done intentionally.
Was
very steep.
Was Al Horford's
and the
dunk?
The call was strong.
The percentage.
Al Horford's dunk on Giannis. I don't know what game it was where he dunked
nice.
And then purposely threw his elbow at him to kind of give him a little bit to something like let him know he was there to kind of pay him back for kind of mad mugging him. Then if you think what Peyton Pritchard did is a dirty play, which is what you think it is, Peyton Pritchard grabbing Jimmy Butler's knee was a dirty play. Like, Peyton Pritchard's a dirty little guard that just is like out to like
Scrappy, coach's son.
Then call him Scrappy. I feel like that's uncalled for. Like, say it's dirty. Like that, like in the big scheme of things, of all the dirty
great for
things
the
that
heat,
happened,
man. It's a great rallying cry for them, and I love the way Sproul. We're not going to complain. We're not going to bitch about it. We'll take care of it ourselves. Like, by the way, you're right. Means nothing. Not going to come out and start a fist fight in the game tonight. But it gives them that little chip on the shoulder, right?
It's very Patriot-esque.
They're not giving this. They want the Celtics to win. Guys, they want the Celtics in the NBA Finals. We're not a sexy team to go play Golden State.
They don't want us in the finals.
There's a reason Scott Foster's here. Like, that's a great rallying cry for the Heat.
Do you want to get into the Scott Foster of it all? Because Scott Foster's crew will be officiating tonight. They announced at 9 a.m. this morning the NBA. So Scott Foster, he has the nickname the Extender because it seems like often.
Reasons,
yeah. Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health.
Okay, you know what? You are... Oh, God. You're the expert on this, Mutt. So
am,
do you
want
to give
expert,
us a
yes.
two-minute drill on your feelings about Scott Foster? Because I'd love it.
He, the extender, because people think the NBA sends him to games where a team is trailing to help that team tie the series and extend the series out. He may earn that reputation. The stats, can I tell you, don't back it up.
Okay.
The stats don't back up. The last 27 games that Scott Foster has gone in and been for the trailing team is 13-14 of those 27 games. So you see a stat online, 20-5, 19-2, fake stats. But he's been an official long enough where I think he knows what the NBA wants. They want this thing to go as long as possible. So I think the Celtics will probably get the benefit of Scott Foster tonight. I do. Is it enough to win the game by itself? No. But he'll get a little home cooking tonight with Scott Foster. But the extender nickname, a little bit overrated.
What do you make of his friendship? We've talked about this on the show a lot before last week.
Yeah.
His buddy, Tim
Donaghy. Yeah.
And all those phone calls.
There's a million calls.
I mean, someone from the betting world. What is your?
I think the league knows. He knows what the league wants. Like, I think it's Tom Brady knew. No, I'm sorry. The deflator and Dorito dink, they knew Tom Brady wanted the footballs a certain way. He didn't have to tell them, right? Tom wants the balls at this PSI.
Roger that.
Scott Foster knows what the league wants. And he's been in enough situations in big games, ask Chris Paul, where he misses big calls for home team. Like Chris Paul's 0-14.
I know.
Scott Foster playoff game.
That stat is wild.
It's wild. So I think that it is no text needed, no call needed. He knows what the NBA wants. Call it tighter against the Heat early. Give the Celtics a foul advantage. Miss some calls late. Help the team win the game.
Well, just to round back to that, producer Ryan has a good text. Dirty no, because he's not on site right now with us at West End Johnny's.
Yep.
Dirty no, cheap absolutely for Peyton Pritchard. I think that's a good way.
I think such a soft
well said,
move then.
Okay, well, massive day.
We have lowered what we think is
massive day down at Foxborough today.
Oh,
okay?
Huge.
Guys in shorts and T-shirts,
wow.
And Bill Belichick spoke to the media. We're going to get to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fortier, and Mego on WEEI.
Fortier and Mego here at West End Johnny's until 7 p.m. tonight, leading up to Celtics tip-off. But we got to take a break from the Celtics to talk about the Patriots because they're back in action. First day of OTAs down in Foxborough. And perhaps more importantly, because they are in shirts and T-shirts. I mean, shirts and shorts down there.
T-shirts and shorts. Yeah.
No hitting, no pads on. So maybe more importantly, we got to ask questions from Bill Belichick today. By we, I mean the media at large.
I would say most importantly, we got stats.
Most important,
we got quarterbacks.
Critical
who threw
stats
air.
On Twitter.
So this very would be important. in my if I could do Glenn Nordway voice. This is Faye Shree, the Patriots offseason. The Patriots offseason condition. So yeah.
Well, the Patriots start phase three.
There you go. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, phase three right now. So they're all out there on the field, and I did not think that the media was actually able to watch the practice, but we did get a lot of stats, conflicting stats.
Christian, I have told you this so many times that you're allowed to watch all of training camp.
OTAs,
camp,
I thought
were,
I didn't think
OTAs,
they could miss it.
We see it all. Anyway, when the day is open, it's open
so
all
who threw
the
better?
Way through.
Was it with Slappy or Mac Jones?
We're going to ask Andrew Callahan Sappy. From the Boston Herald. He'll be joining us in just about 7 minutes, but first we're going to hear some of the questions that were lobbied at Bill Belichick. Because the question of the offseason has been, who's calling plays and what are the titles of these other coaches on the team? Because it's like cracking some kind of a Da Vinci code or something. So we're going to start with Phil Perry. A little comment about the audio. Apparently the mics were pointed in the wrong direction.
Shocker.
Oh, what a surprise.
Thank you, Phil. Shocker. Oh, it was totally accidental. We didn't even do that.
No. So it's a little fuzzy, but we're going to start with Phil Perry asking about Patricia and Judge's official coaching titles.
Have those jobs been specified for Joe and Matt in particular? They told us that Joe's been working with the quarterbacks and Matt a little bit with the offensive line.
Sounds good. So
those guys have titles.
Yes. So we have titles. Yeah, look, there's a lot of jobs that we have to do. We're all working on those things now. It's May. They'll change in June. They'll change in August. They'll change in September. Of all the things timely that we need to do. And if you're asking about game plans, we're months away from that. Months.
Maybe not game plans, but how about like the one role that we asked those two guys about was the play caller role. Is that one
away
from having a play caller?
So what plays are we calling?
Well,
any camp plays.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. We're gonna coach the team, coach the players. We're gonna get them ready to go. we're going to game plan. We have to game plan. We'll play call. Do all the things that we need to do and compete in games right now. But we're months away from that.
Do we have a transcription? I don't have a clue what he said.
Okay, so essentially what he said was there's a lot of jobs we have to do. We're all working on those. It's May. If you're asking about game plans, we're months away. Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, followed up and said, you know, well, what about the play caller? That's what we've been asking about. And Bill replied, what plays are we calling? Mini camp plays?
Let me be condescending to you. Let me kind of just be passive aggressive.
Phil played it well. Phil goes like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, so I'll ask you, Corey.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Good for Phil by following up, by the way. That's the only question we have, right? Who's called the plays?
That's it.
Who's running with Mac Jones?
That's it. And I know he's downplaying it, and it seems like I know they're going to avoid it. And this whole mic situation, let's not act like it wasn't done on purpose. So
it was 100% done on purpose.
Usually,
you're right about this.
Usually
we'll
face
ask
Bill.
Andrew. We'll have to ask Andrew. None of us were there.
Okay. Were all the mics placed facing the reporters or facing Bill? What does it sound like? I'm going to go on
Phil
a
Perry
limb.
Sounded clean, crisp. Ready for air quality right there.
He might as well have been on Belichick's lap.
It's amazing how he just screws with the media and all of us. Isn't it? Like, what did we do to him?
We are on a remote broadcast. Let's not throw bricks at other people's audio quality, okay?
But yet, like, Kraft Productions is worth, like, multi-million dollars and can be used to spy on other teams, but they can't get the mics correct in a press conference. Right.
What, Mego, you said this earlier when you were, you know, back in the old days, boots on the ground, Mego, okay, when you were covering the team. You said that every time that you guys would do, like, an interview, like, Kraft would jump
time.
In his helicopter.
Not every
like, on
time.
Purpose to kind of do a little flyby.
It would happen, especially during training camp when a guest, like John Bon Jovi or someone would show up.
High level, yeah.
It would just be, you
like
know,
this.
In the middle
Bill,
of,
who's calling the plays, Bill? Bill!
Like
Bill!
In the middle of a press conference that, sure, nobody cares about. Like, Julian Edelman is talking about a suspension or something, and then it's like freaking Black Hawk Down happening right next to you. It's like, great. Thanks, guys.
The players spoke at 1:30 after OTAs. A helicopter landed on the practice field next to the players while they were speaking at the exact same time. Like, come on.
It happens a lot.
This is obvious. We're doing this on purpose.
All right.
What else can they add?
So Bill's rebuttal there to Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston was essentially, it's May. What do you want from us, okay? It's May. We're so far from the season. So our very own Andy Hart, he followed up about, you know, what goes into deciding to name it and how long does that take?
Is there a point where a guy who's going to have that role would need the time to prepare? Is that by the start of training camp? Is that?
Yeah, of course.
Do you have that date in your mind?
No. Do you know who will call offensive plays, or is that a process you'll let play out over the course of the offseason?
Yeah, when we get to it, we'll get to it.
When we'll get to it, we'll get to it. I heard that part.
Again, treating it like anything else.
Yes,
not
yes.
important, no big deal.
So,
let's see here.
I don't know, Mutt. Maybe you can help me out with this. Either he truly doesn't know. Like, it's truly, I need to wait and see who interacts and, you know, handles the play calling the best. So he truly
it's
is waiting.
Competition.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that one.
Okay, no, honestly, I'm going to ask you a serious question. Like, either it's that, okay, and he's just playing it up to confuse everybody, or he already knows, but he's just not telling anybody, and this is his excuse for not saying it. Which one is it?
I believe it's B. I think he already knows who's going to call plays. I don't know who that's going to be. Like, maybe it's Bill. Maybe it's Joe Judge. I don't think it's Matt Patricia.
Me neither.
No. I think it's going to be Bill, Joe Judge, or Nick Cayley.
Wait, Bill?
I think they know.
Bill Belichick.
Yes, I think there's an outside shot.
That Bill's calling plays?
Bill Belichick's going to call the offensive plays.
He did it
plays.
Today, according to Andrew Callahan, who we're going to speak to in moments. Well, he said the OTA camp plays, the mini camp plays, Bill Belichick called offensive plays in live 11-on-11.
How does Andrew Callahan know?
T-shirts and shorts.
You can ask him in 90 seconds when he hops on here.
And didn't Bill just say, what plays are we calling?
And so what
he literally called plays today.
No.
The first day. But he told the reporters, oh, what are we doing?
Well, you know what? Let's stop dancing around this. Let's get to the guy who is the boots on the ground. Andrew Callahan is joining us on the Harbor One hotline from the Boston Herald. Andrew, you were at OTAs today. So I guess the first question I have to ask you is, so you tweeted this out, Bill Belichick called offensive plays in live 11-on-11s. I guess this may sound like a really stupid question, but how were you able to confirm that? Was it just so obvious right in front of you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when the quarterback is going from the coach into the huddle,
making the play, and then going back to the coach and then the huddle, like, that's the conversation he's had. There were no headsets today, so the only person with the play sheet at that time was Belichick during the last 11-on-11 period we got to see.
You know, that's only for the cameras, right, Andrew? Like, he's only doing that just to play up this whole, like, this whole mystery that is now the Patriots offseason, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's, you know, why they let us in today, right? They said Andrew Callahan's going to be here, and then he's going to be on with Fourier and Mego and Munn and maybe Lou. We'll see about Lou. And they got to give him something to talk about today. So, yeah, it was, I'll say this, though, too. You know, it wasn't the only 11-on-11 period. Matt Patricia was more involved in one that had, you know, more run calls. So, again, this is just one day. But Bill was in charge at the end there.
All right, so do you think, Andrew, your opinion, we can't know for sure yet, is this a sign that potentially, forget screwing with us, that Bill Belichick might call plays for the Patriots next year in an actual football game?
You know, I think it's on the table. And I think, you know, before I say anything else, it's important to remember this is, you know, May 23rd, 24th, whatever. I think Belichick is not sure at this point, honestly. And I think he is much better at dealing with uncertainty than any of the rest of us. This is a guy who went into late June of 2020 without a quarterback after Tom Brady, and it was going to be Jarrett Stidham. He gets Cam Newton, moves forward. Last year, the competition. Right now, I think he's going to let this play out. And we'll see where that goes. It could be him. It could be Joe Judge. I think those would be the two candidates at the time. But if Joe Judge isn't ready, then I think, yeah, he could call plays.
Andrew, so, you know, who do you think would be best qualified to call the plays right now? Okay, Bill or Joe Judge?
You know, between the two of them, Belichick. No question.
Why?
I mean, Joe Judge hasn't done it. Well, because he's done it in the past offensively.
When?
He did it with the head coach in Cleveland. Now, look, we can say that was 30 years ago, which I'm sure is exactly what was about to come out of your mouth.
Yes.
My question then to you would be, when was the last time Joe Judge called offensive plays?
Because what we know about
Yeah, exactly. What we know about Joe Judge's offensive decision-making is that he had Jason Garrett as his offensive coordinator, and then his second choice after Garrett got fired was Freddie Kitchens, which in my mind doesn't inspire a whole lot of creativity or imagination. What this offense needs, as we saw last year, it didn't have a plan B. We're going to go run heavy, some play action with Mac Jones. If that doesn't work, we can't really spread it out. This offense needs a change, and the good news is I've heard rumblings that there are changes that have been put into effect that I think if anyone's going to call those changes to make them happen, it should be Bill Belichick.
Ooh, rumblings.
Okay, so can you give us a little bit more information about those rumblings, what they are, what changes we can expect besides who's calling the plays?
Well, I think this offense, and we've talked about this, you know, since I got in the beat in 2018, you can hear it beforehand, just how complex it is, and particularly for receivers. And I think what you'll see perhaps moving forward is things are a little bit simpler. So guys, you know, at the line of scrimmage aren't making 2 to 3 reads before they get into the route, and then 2 to 3 more reads depending on the safety location, the corner and bump and run, or is in off coverage. And you have, you know, all these this mental energy expended before you really decide to plant your foot and run a slant. And those are the things that I think they're going to cut out and make this a little bit simpler. We saw a lot of boot play action, which, again, this is one OTA practice, but a lot of things that you see across the league and not necessarily in New England that are just more easily, this is what's going to happen. You have 2 options instead of 5. And I think that's where things are starting to trend toward with the passing game.
Wait, did you say you saw a bootleg? Them running bootlegs and nakeds?
Lots of boots today, Christian.
Really?
Ooh,
really?
The legs
I
were
will
out.
Tell you, in I don't know how many years Brady was actually officially here, they never ran a bootleg, ever. I actually think I caught the last bootleg they ran. They don't. They never ran them.
Again, it's all about you.
It is. Look at the show name.
But Andrew's right.
Did it with a stinger.
How about that? So I'm as interested, Andrew, in not just who's going to call the plays, but who's going to mentor Mac Jones. I don't think people are making enough of the fact that Josh is not here to be his mentor going forward. Any keys, insight today into who spent the most time with Mac, who's going to be his sounding board on that coaching staff?
Yeah, it's a good question, too, because I think you hit it on the head. Not only is it just mentoring and developing Mac Jones day-to-day, but it's the problem-solving on Sundays. And from what we could tell at practice today, Joe Judge is definitely comfortably in the quarterback's coach role. He did bounce around a little bit, as Belichick did to some of the other skill positions. But when you looked at his proximity, you know, to the quarterbacks on average, no one was closer than among coaches than him. So he's working with the quarterbacks, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, I mentioned problem-solving. This is something that Brady and Josh McDaniels grew into later in their relationship in New England, where, you know, this is the same pairing that lost that Super Bowl to the Giants because they didn't know how to handle those blitzes, you know. And once you get more experience, you go, oh, hey, 5 years ago we saw this look, this is how we solved it. That's stuff that Joe Judge and Mac Jones don't have on their own, let alone together. So that's the part I think they need to solve, and I think where Belichick can really come in handy.
Again, no pads, no hitting today, but what did you see from Mac coming out there today, both in his interview and on the field, how he carried himself? Because we're seeing a lot of things coming out now about all the work that he's put in so far in this offseason and the changes that he's made to his diet and so on and so forth.
Yeah, honestly, it was a lot of same old from Mac. So, you know, he wasn't particularly insightful with us after practice, which is his fine and is right. But, you know, he did say he cleaned up his diet. He did mention, I'll say, in talking about Joe Judge, that he's looking to, you know, learn with Joe Judge. So in the sense that he's going to receive coaching, obviously, from Joe Judge, and he'll be able to help Joe Judge out himself, having been in the system and played it, you know, longer from a quarterback's perspective than Joe has. So that was interesting. But on the field, I think Mac, I had him down for 12 of 15 or 12 of 16. A lot of checkdowns, easy throws, nothing to really write home about. Besides what you'll find in the Herald tomorrow.
Was there a standout receiver for Mac today, Andrew?
Not for Mac in particular. We only had one drop. It was Christian Wilkerson. Devontae Parker had the play of the day. I mean, he had roasted Justin Bethel, who, you know, we should note as a special teamer on a post route for a touchdown. But, you know, they all looked okay.
All right, so we're talking to Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald. So as far as offense, we kind of covered that a little bit. Defensively, has anything changed with our, you know, our defensive coordinators? Does it look like Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo are still basically sharing those duties?
Yes, it does. You know, again, there were no headsets today. It goes for offense and defense. But, you know, typically Steve Belichick, since 2019, has been calling plays. Gerard Mayo ushering in the personnel on and off the field. That was about the same there today. And I think, you know, we talk about those duties and how they're going to split them up and whether this is a good operation. I think just the confidence that Belichick had in to leave them alone and let them run the show today, as we also saw last year, speaks volumes. You know, of course, that's in comparison to the offensive staff, which is still, you know, very young in its current form. But Belichick was with the offense entirety today, and that's because the defensive staff knows what it's doing and has been doing the same operation here, now going on his fourth year.
Andrew, back to the players. Is there anything that we should read into with a couple of these absences today? I'm looking specifically at Matthew Judon, according to your reporting, and N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, so Matthew Judon was absent. Adrian Phillips was as well. We had 13 total absences, including both kickers. And I think Judon, honestly, same reason for those kickers in a weird way of, like, what does Matthew Judon really have to gain from non-contact, non-padded OTAs? Because, you know, he's a guy who was the best player on the team last year, and that includes J.C. Jackson. Now, like J.C. Jackson, he faded down the stretch. But, you know, if he's with the program and comes to a couple OTAs, the fact that he missed one where the media was there doesn't speak volumes to me. As far as N'Keal Harry, look, I don't think things are good between his camp and the team, and that goes back to last year when he becomes probably the worst player in NFL history to request a trade. He follows that up with a bad season. And, you know, look, I think they want a divorce. It's just a matter of when.
Hey, Andrew, one last question. What is the deal with the audio that came out of camp? What was the mic setup there? Because we just went through some of it, and the reporters sounded clearer than ever, and I don't know if it was just Bill, but he sounded like he was talking like through a paper bag or something.
Well, Bill was in midseason form. I think that's the best way to put it. Grumble City over there. But, no, I mean, you know, it was a normal setup inside, outside. You know, you got a little bit more space, and they have players talking at the same time, so maybe there was some interference, some kind of answers colliding there. But honestly, it was the same as last year, so that's a question for Bill, I guess.
Andrew, real quick, I wanted to get your take. Pretty clear since you've gotten here, you've been pretty tied in with people in and around the team on the beat. You've done a great job. Have you heard similar things to what Greg Bedard talked about on NBC Sports Boston a couple of days ago, that there are players that are sort of worried about the direction of this team, and there are people in the building that are worried about how this offseason has gone? Is that something you've heard as well?
I have not. The only thing I've really heard and asked people about were things I already spoke to about the changes within the system and, honestly, the on-field chemistry, which was something that Mac Jones volunteered on his own, that it leaps and bounds better than last year. You know, as far as being alarmed, I've not heard anything about that, and I know Greg worded it in a way that was people around other people within the team. So I not that it's a game of telephone, but I think at this point in the OTAs, from people I had talked to, all they're working on is fundamentals. Today was the first day of phase three, which is really the first day you can get with team drills. So, you know, I'm not here to discredit or disparage what Greg had reported, but from what you've asked me, if I've heard anything similar, the answer is no.
All right. Andrew Callahan, the Boston Herald, thank you so much for joining
Thanks,
us, Andrew.
Andrew.
Oh, and hey, what's your prediction for tonight for Celtics?
Oh, see, he's bounced back. Big Tatum game.
Blowout? Mm-hmm. Blowout?
No, but I say 10 or 12. So comfortable, but not blowout.
To cover.
All right. You can read Andrew Callahan in the Boston Herald or at bostonherald.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
All right. See you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Okay. There's some things I would like to unpack.
Okay.
I don't know if we can do it now.
Do one right now, and then we'll leave the rest.
No, producer Ryan says no.
Okay. He's about to explode with takes here. Let's just get a break.
Man. Two things.
No.
It's going to be a take explosion.
Okay, a take explosion.
All right, take explosion.
Like, I'm ready to let. On I'm ready to OG. Unload.
You got tense listening to know. Greg Callahan.
I want to punch Andrew Callahan.
One Christian Foyer is about to have a take explosion off of Andrew Callahan's phone call. That's next.
We're back. This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I think this offense, and we've talked about this, you know, since I got the beat in 2018, you can hear it beforehand, just how complex it is, and particularly for receivers. And I think what you'll see perhaps moving forward is things are a little bit simpler. We saw a lot of boot play action, which again, this is one OTA practice, but a lot of things that you see across the league and not necessarily in New England, that are just more easily, this is what's going to happen. You have two options instead of five. And I think that's where things are starting to trend toward with the passing game.
Wait, did you say you saw a bootleg?
All right, I'm just going to toss it to you because Christian is about to burst over here over that bootleg.
No. Thank you. Let's pick my mic now. No, that's our take explosion. Thank you for Mutt for inventing it. Two things right there that I want to mention. Okay, one, you talk about simplifying the offense. You're telling me day one install is bootlegs? So bootleg is an obvious, play action pass that is off runs to the right, outside zone runs, pitch plays, and the first play, a passing play off that is a bootleg. That's day one install in every team I've ever played on. That's always been the case. Never with the Patriots. They don't run bootlegs. They don't run them. They never run them with Tom because he can't run outside. He can't get to the outside. So it's a slam and release to the flat for the backside tight end, a crossing route for the other side tight end. You got two tight ends that can run. And the key to this is a speedy wide receiver that can run the deep over route because they're usually, dropping a safety down. Whatever, I'm not going to get in the weeds here.
Does it help if he's really skinny?
If he's really skinny and fast, it helps.
The safety's doing a half drop. Yeah. The safety's doing a straight down the hash. Like,
oh, God.
Thank you, Matt Chatham. I know. Thank you, Matt Chatham.
Stop, please.
That, to me, is interesting, okay, because they it's never been in their playbook, ever. So the fact that they're allowing themselves to run boots and nakeds, I think is, mind-boggling because it is very simple.
Boots and nakeds.
They're basically the same thing. The other thing is this, Mike.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have? Can't have Tom Brady, you can't have Josh McDaniels. I would say if you have the best defensive coordinator, why wouldn't it be able to translate to offense for a guy like Bill? So a guy like Bill calling plays should be able to translate.
Honestly, I want it for
me
the talk
too.
Show. I want it for
me
the talk
too.
Show. Bill Belichick, Tyler calling plays. We get to criticize Bill.
I would
for,
love
for,
it.
Like a third down
I want
offensive
that,
play
that
call.
Big menu like
oh,
this, and he goes blah 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 offense. Blah 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 blah. Don't read my lips.
It has to be better than Joe Judge. I don't know about Nick Haley. We know very little about Nick Haley. But for what we're gonna do next year, Bill Belichick calling plays would be a goldmine.
So you're making
absolute goldmine.
You're making a very big deal out of this transition to the bootleg. What does that indicate to you? That's different about
Now? Listen, the Brady offense is done. It doesn't exist anymore.
The ish is calculus is done.
Yes, that is done. You're not going to hear anyone say how difficult it is because the offense is not difficult
this
to learn.
It is calculus.
No, the Brady made everything twice as hard. Everything, what he expected from you, how quickly he wanted you to identify things, it was hard. So if you're not used to that type of expectations, you're never going to thrive here. So, yeah, I think those days are over. So it's simplified. Doesn't mean it's dumbed down. It just means it's not as, it's not as, I don't even know what
elaborate?
The word is.
Is it going to be modern, Christian? That's what I want to know. Like, I my biggest fear with Bill is he does not want to run a modern NFL offense. And what I say by that is, everyone's passing now. It's pass first, run second. Whereas when Bill was calling plays at Cleveland, it was run first to set up the pass. I don't think the best teams in the NFL do that anymore. They all throw to throw to throw. Look what Daboll did with the Bills last year.
Yeah.
It's a game where he threw like 34 consecutive times. They didn't even worry about the run. And so I want to see that type of offense catch up with the rest of the NFL.
Like, can Bill call 34 passing plays?
That's what I mean.
Plays?
Does that signal to you, does Bill have the – the wherewithal to be able to do that, or is he so stuck in that old school way? This means they're going to pound the ball, run some play action, and be like an older version of the NFL offense.
And I was going to say, and particularly when Brady was starting out, when Brady was in the position that Mac was in his career of not putting so much on his plate. We talked about this so much last season with Mac Jones. Like, on one side, you had some fans saying, like, oh, let Mac cook. Why won't you let him throw a deep? Oh, man. It's like, well, maybe you don't want to see that side of him yet. Maybe you saw what was happening with Zach Wilson. And so it's like, give this kid a little time to develop here.
I think ultimately, the transition is complete. It's over. Like, there's no more Patriot offense as you knew it before.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. It's it.
Doing some bootleg stats for Mac Jones. These are at Alabama, by the way. Jones, 23 dropbacks, completing 12 of 21, so less than 60%. Not great. 135 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick on those 21 attempts. Passer rating of 96.
Heavy run team that relies on it with lots of speedy receivers. It's going to be part of their offense.
So it's not something he was experienced in or was really effective in, even in the college game. So what are they trying to take advantage of? Just their run strength and with Damian Harris and Ramondre?
Run power football
two
and
tight
speed
ends,
wide receivers.
It's two tight ends, no fullback, lots of just like, – it's about as basic as it gets. It doesn't get any easier than – run off tackle, complimentary play is a naked going the
You're
other way.
Naked in your boots.
You want to be naked in your boots.
All right, let's hit the phones. Let's go to Mike in Framingham. Mike, you're on.
Hey, you doing? Two quick things. You guys talk about the play calling. Aren't a lot of play calls done off the chart or down and distance in certain situations anyways? So about whoever called the plays, why is that a big deal?
Hey, listen, you go tend to your kids right now because they're yelling. You probably need to feed them something right now. They sound hungry. Yes, they do call them off a plate sheet. I mean, it's all situated. It's all color-coded.
Is it hard to call plays?
Decisions
yes.
to make.
Well, hold on. Hold on.
He was saying we're making too much out of it. Isn't it easy, guys, to go call plays?
No.
Is it easy to call plays?
Actually reading the play and calling it, yes, it is very easy.
I can't read.
No, but I do think being good at it is actually really hard because timing plays a lot into it. It does. And having crappy coordinators, I think you would know when you find a good one. Wow, that was a really good call, man. He really set this up. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Oh my God, this is why we did it. He held on to that play. He set them up in the first quarter. Now we're seeing the benefit of it in the fourth quarter.
Play calling is so important that if you believe Rich Orenberger, Tom Brady blatantly disregarded the play calls by Byron Leftwich and called his own plays after it was sent into the headset. So if you believe that, Tom Brady was his own OC because his OC was not good enough.
Now that's calculus. I can't even make any sense of that. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Tim.
Good afternoon. Hey, I just want to say, Christian, you're 100% right about that bootleg crap. I played quarterback at one time, and not that I'm a Pop Warner guy. There you go. But all I want to say is they might be trying to put a two-point play in and do a bootleg, but I tell you what, this is like something that they shouldn't even think of. I think Belichick's going to be mentoring this kid, and they should put Patricia back on defense and then leave Judge in to be the guy in between. I think that's where they got to be.
You know what? Thank you. I'm leaning towards Bill as the OC. If you have a prize possession, you have a really expensive commodity, being Mac
big,
Jones.
A big, powerful brain. Oh, okay.
Well, here's your commodity. It's very important. You have to grow it. You have to nurture it. If you screw it up, you're really hurting yourself.
Like a kid.
Like a child. Don't leave your kids with mud or eye. Okay.
No, don't do that.
Okay. So I do think like you can, and I think Bill knows that he's in a very fragile state. You lose your coordinator. You're in your second year. You have all these expectations. I think Bill knows that he can't afford to let somebody else do it.
He's in the best shape of his life.
Oh, he's very – does he have abs now? He has abs.
I don't know if it's abs.
His arm's stronger.
Mega was very critical.
Should we demand he rocks a crop top?
A crop top?
He almost was.
Crop top.
The jersey was kind of crop top-ish, wasn't it?
No, it was just very tight.
Very well.
You know the only one that can wear a crop top is probably Nikhil Harry, who isn't there right now. What a surprise.
That's rude. There are plenty
Anyways,
of
Anyways, you know my vote is now. Can we do early voting? Way too early voting
sure.
for OC?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to say this is what it's going to look like. It's going to look like Bill with the headset, like big giant menu in front of him, along with Joe Judge having one also. There's going to be two guys. It's going to be basically the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. It's going to be Bill and it's going to be Joe Judge.
So, like on defense, when they had Steve and Gerard both sort of be involved there, we're not going to know who's really calling the
plays. And you know what else they're going to have? You know those college billboards with like you know, Lee Corso, like five different things, Tweety Bird, and like that's what else they're going to have. It's all going to be calculated. Okay. Whoa, it's a new trend in the NFL. Bill's calling plays.
I hope. Don't you hope that's the case?
I think that's what's happening.
I hope that Andy Hart, he brought this up a couple weeks ago.
I
might have with you
I was
guys.
Remembering when I heard it. Like,
Andy Hart said it first, and my reaction was I wanted to
give him credit.
But now, boy, this seems like a good idea.
Yeah, it seems like the safest idea.
Excellent stuff from Andrew Callahan down there at Gillette. We got a basketball game in a couple hours from now here at the Garden. I want to come back and talk about you guys out there, the fans, who are voting on our poll question at Maloney, Fourier, and Mego about Jason Tatum's play and where he is at right now in the NBA. We'll get to that as we get set for Game 4 here. Maloney, Fourier, and Mego live at West End Johnny's here in the shadow of the Boston Garden.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.